The first miracle recorded, as far as John is concerned, a miracle which was very much private, not much publicized, but a miracle, an outstanding miracle, which we call a miracle of upside down. First of all, God, the Lord was invited along with his disciples. His mother Mary has been invited, and it seems that this wedding is of a close relative of Mary, or a good friend of the family of Mary, whatever it is. There is a closeness here in this wedding, because not only Mary was invited, but also our Lord and his disciples were invited for this wedding. Invitation is very important. We have all invited our Lord in our hearts, in our family. Because we invited him, he came into our lives. There are many hundreds and thousands of souls back in India who are accepting, who have been inviting Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Master. Even though with all the challenge that we face every day because of preaching of gospel, so many life threat, so many challenges, so many pastors have been put into such a kind of a hard situation, to the point of even facing death, drowning into the river, into the water, beating them so hard, accusing them with so many things, charging us with false charges, putting us in jail. In spite of all these things happening, because of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, power of the word of the Lord, we were able to see people, many, many people, all over the country, in the midst of all these challenges, that they are inviting the Lord in their lives. That lives may be changed. Their family may be changed. Their family may be blessed. So here the Lord has been invited for the wedding. Unless you invite the Lord, you may not see his presence. You may not see his glory. You may not see his power manifesting in our lives. So every day, not only one time of my life, of our lives, every day we need to invite our Lord in all of our occasions, in all of the things what we do, from day one, from the beginning of the day, from the end of the day to the end of the day. He needs our invitation in all of the things what we do. 15 years ago, the Lord had put inspiration in my heart to arrange for an early morning prayer, to call upon people early morning from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock, 2 hours of prayer, coming into his presence to supplicate unto the Lord, not only for our own needs, but also for the needs of the whole world, for the need of the body of Christ, and for the need of the perishing souls, that they may know the Lord in their hearts, that the word of the Lord may preach in a powerful manner. But it seemed like impractical. So we came as a family of God together and said, Lord, you have to do things for us. Guide us, lead us, give us wisdom, that we may see that many people come into the presence of God early morning. So we set apart the month of February every year from 1 to 21 days. And we called for people prayer, early morning prayer, 5 to 7. It was impractical. It was unbelievable that how people can come early that morning and stay for 2 hours of prayer. But when we ask the presence of God, We invite the spirit of the presence of God in our lives, in our programs, in our ministry. I believe the Lord will come there to bless us and to guide us and to lead us. On the first day of this early morning prayer, when we started 15 years ago, on the first day, we saw 1,500 people coming into the church for early morning prayer, 5 o'clock in the morning. And the Lord enabled us to provide them food, everyday breakfast, every day for 21 days. What I'm trying to say to you is that as we invite Him in our life, not only in our life, but in all of the things what we do, we could see not only the presence of God, but we could see the power of God coming forth from His word, from His promises, that we can be strengthened each day in our life. This year, the Lord invited for the wedding. He was a guest, that's it. Nothing to do with anything about the wedding or for the wedding, nothing like that. The word of the Lord says He was invited as a guest. But something happened in the midst of the reception, in the midst of the celebration, that Mary, the mother of Jesus, found out that there was a lack of wine. Wine is a very special thing there in the culture of Jews, and especially during the wedding time. They have wine, a special thing for them, part of the celebration. But here, Mary found, the mother of Jesus found, that there's a lack of wine over there. That, you know, that the family's reputation may be spoiled, may be challenged because of not providing enough of wine, which is a requirement for the celebration of that wedding. Jesus was the guest here, nothing to do with that. But she approaches the Lord, saying, there is something lacking here, a special thing lacking here in that wedding, in that reception, that has to be sorted out. And she was waiting, as she was the only person who experienced the birth of the Son of the Living God through her womb. And she experienced the word of the Lord through the angel Gabriel from heaven, saying, "You blessed art you, the woman among the women, because you're going to give birth to the Son of the Living God." But she has to go through a kind of a humiliation because of the fact that she gave birth to this son when she was just in betrothed and not a real having marriage, or God did, the Lord was not born out of a marriage. So she was waiting for the time that the Lord should prove Himself that He was the Son of the Living God. He was not of a natural person. He was a supernatural person. God becoming flesh. God become a human being. She was waiting for the time that this son should prove himself. And this mother can prove herself that this is a special son. Not born out of a man, but born out of God. So she was looking for an opportunity, I think so. So she's approaching the problem with Jesus Christ, our Lord. The conversation between the mother and the son, I may not be able to really understand what it was. But they had their own kind of conversation, you know, code words or whatever. She says something and he says something. And she goes and tells to the servants in the wedding something else, which was not transpired between the father, the mother and son. As you read through the story, the Lord says, you know, oh, madam, you know, women may be understood as, madam, what I have to do with this thing? What you have to do with this thing? You are a guest, I am a guest. What we have to do with the problem with the family is facing right now? That was the conversation which is recorded here in the Word. But she goes and tells to the servant, whatever he says, do it. Whatever he says, do it. They had, I'm not able to understand the conversation, what was happening between the mother of Jesus Christ or with our Lord. But something happened, something has been understood between each of them, between both of them. So many things, you know, so many languages that you speak, I don't understand at all. You know, the kind of slang where language you use. So many things I don't know anything about. I've been coming to the country, you know, back and forth, you know, maybe once in 2 years at least, you know, approximately. I don't know anything about so many things that you converse with each other, I may not be able to understand. But you understand each other. So likewise, their family, the son and the mother, they had understood something else, you know. I don't know about that. But she says, whatever he says, let it be done. Today in our life, if we want our success, if we want our situation to be turned around, if we want to have the answer from the Lord, if we want to solve a problem, one condition is that whatever he says, let us do it. Whatever he says, let us do. And whatever he says, there should be a meaning in that. When he nods his head, it has meaning. When he closes his eyes, it has a meaning. When he opens his mouth, it has a meaning. Very interesting thing here you could see. Whatever he says, do it. And the Lord told the servants to fill the pots, the jars, which were there, 6 jars, which were empty. But these jars were used for the water for purification. That's what the word of the Lord says. First of all, the interesting thing is that these jars were empty at that time. But actually, it is to be used for purification. Maybe many people have used this water so that the jars were empty. And the Lord said the servants to fill the jars with water. Each jar may contain about 23 gallons or 20 gallons or more than that. So 6 jars. You see how many gallons of water has been poured out in those jars? Up to the brim, because nothing should be added, just plain water. Mary was not able to understand what he was saying. The servants were not understood what he was saying, but the Lord understood what he was doing. He knew everything beforehand, what would be done, what shall be done, what will be turned around, what things would be happening, what the result would be there. Many times in our lives, you may not be able to understand what the Lord says in our lives, the commands, the expectations. You may not know anything about that. But the Lord only knows everything. He knows the result. He knows the beginning. He knows the end. He knows everything. All we have to do as the body of Christ is that we obey his word. Whatever he says, let it be done. So these servants, they filled their water. An interesting thing is here, The Lord didn't pray any prayer. He didn't lift up his hand unto the heaven. He didn't utter any word from his mouth. He didn't touch the jar. He didn't do anything as per the word of the Lord says. All he said was, fill the jar, then take the water, turn into wine, take it to the master of the wedding ceremony. Very interesting. Didn't touch, he didn't speak, did not do anything. All he said was, fill the jar with water. And immediately it turned into wine. The water, we didn't have taste, it didn't have color. Everything was changed upside down. Upside down. Upside down. God can change supernaturally. He can change things in our lives. He's a supernatural God. He could do supernatural things in our lives beyond our expectation, above our expectation, above our imagination. The first miracle, low-profile miracle, in a wedding, in a private ceremony, in a private house. And the will of the Lord says, when the master of the house didn't know where this wine came from, the bridegroom didn't know where this wine came from, the guests or the people in the wedding, they didn't know where this wine came from, except the servants. But he turned upside down. He changed things. And he brought joy. He brought blessing to the family of that wedding. That's the Lord. He can do things in our lives. He turned upside down for good. He can turn our life in a life of blessing to others. And there was joy and peace in the heart of the bridegroom or the family of the bridegroom and all of them who came to the wedding. That is Jesus Christ. That is our Lord. And the word of the Lord says, the disciples believed in him. And it is said in the book of John, John mentions about belief more about 97 times in the book of John. Believe, 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 and believe. The first miracle, what the Lord did was for the disciples, his followers, to believe in him. And this morning, may the Lord give us the grace, give us the power, give us the heart to believe in him for supernatural things to happen in our life, that our world, that our life may turn upside down. Water into wine. Tasteless water into tasteful wine. May the Lord bless us. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the message this morning, that our lives, which were once facing one way, are now turned upside down because of your word, because of your love. Thank you for Frank's witness, Lord, here at Trinity in Satellite Beach and then across the world in India. We are so blessed to have him as a mission partner for all these many years. We pray in your name.